What a time to be alive the day after game one. This is the Georgia Show. Welcome in on your Sunday evening. I'm Jake Roos. He's Rusty Mansell. We're with Dogs HQ, and there is a lot to get to tonight, as you might expect on the first Georgia Show following the opening kickoff. And as always, we are presented by our friends over at American Pride Bank. Guys, if you're looking for local solutions for your banking needs, get with American Pride Bank today. Small business loans, checking account, whatever you need, man, your banking needs addressed at American Pride Bank. You talk to a decision maker all along the way, and they can help you out. Get with them at AmericanPride.bank online or branches in Athens, Alpharetta, et cetera, et cetera. Member FDIC and an equal opportunity lender. We appreciate them. Rusty, let's just dive right in. You and Jake Rowe gave the instant reaction last night after the game. Georgia comes out and does what Georgia needed to do. I think that, it was probably – we were all very, very close on our score predictions. We were all kind of dancing around it, had a good feel for how that one might play itself out. We've now got the benefit, Rusty, of another day of reflection, a chance to go back, watch this thing again, kind of analyze the videos, pick it all out. So I'm going to put it to you this way. What did we learn about Georgia yesterday?
I don't think too much different. If you watched the show yesterday, I don't think too much different. I think it's a couple missed opportunities there. I think offensively, though, some good things. The best thing, I think, was, scoring three out of the first four drives. If Georgia wins this game 45-7 and they don't score in the first quarter, it's going to be a rough night. It's going to be a rough discussion. But I think starting fast, three touchdowns on the first four drives, they had a middle, like, three series right there where things just didn't, kind of looking back and some missed opportunities there. But, I think Zachariah Branch is that guy we've kind of talked about. This is a guy that's a playmaker. And I said it, kidding around, but not really kidding. Like, are they going to throw this guy a screen? He's going to take one to the house. And basically, they threw him a check down. He took one to the house. And, Bubba throws a quick screen to him early, and I think he goes, 29 yards or something like that. And it's just – that's invaluable, man, to have a guy that can make an explosive play. And I'll say this, too. Now, going back and watching, you keep your eyes focused on someone like him, man. But go back and look at the blocking on those plays. Dylan Bell – some great blocks. I think Oscar Delp had a great block there, too, on that first ball that he caught. So it takes a lot of effort there to do things like that. But, listen, was it perfect? No. But does it give you any type of concern what you saw yesterday? Does not. Typically you see the most improvement between week one and week two. And, we'll see what they work on all this week and see how they get going. But defensively, I thought, man, the energy was there. I thought the front seven really – control things. Going back and watching it, I'll double down again. I don't grade stuff, but like Gabe Harris, you're talking about making it dirty and nasty in there at the defensive end position. That's what you want, man. You want this guy to be able to set the edge, to get pass rush, and to let guys behind him make plays at times. And I thought Gabe Harris played a good game.
No, absolutely. I think, gosh, Rusty, to me, the defense – looks formidable already. I mean, the offense feels like it still has a few bugs to work out, and that's going to probably be the case. And we've said this repeatedly on this show and on previous shows. This was going to be, in my mind, always an extension of the scrimmages. This was going to be another opportunity to get in there, mix some things around, see who's making plays, see who's kind of putting it all out there and put it together. And so, to me, the defense looks like the complete product, ready to go out of the box. They are flying around. KJ Bolden, I thought, was going to get me off to a strong start in my predictions for the season with the interceptions. I think, Rusty, I was over at my grandma's today. My uncle said, that Bolden kid, he's a star, isn't he? And I said, there's no question about it. They're just going to, I think, as the season progresses even further, just turn him loose and just say, go do what you do, man. You know how to make this happen. I was also impressed, Rusty, going through. I did the snap counts today. Big numbers for the freshman, and two that really caught my eye. Elijah Griffin, second only on defensive line to Kristen Miller. And then Dominic Kelly with over a dozen or plus dozen more snaps. And, you know, some people are saying he's the Ryan Williams of cornerbacks. I don't know if that's
he got to Georgia at 16. Yeah, so he got to Georgia at 16 in January. Now he's 17. So, yeah, he's definitely going to get the 17-year-old mentions all year.
Yeah, no, I just thought it was impressive. I mean, you go look at the numbers. I think we had 79 total players that we accounted for over the course of the snap count. Rotated a lot of guys in, significant numbers across the offensive line. What about the injury situation, Rusty? I know that everybody was kind of wringing their hands coming off of this one. You, Juan Gaston, you mentioned Gabe Harris, who played well. He limped off at one point. We didn't see Dalen Everett, right? I mean, like, where do things kind of stand here? Where are we injury-wise?
Well, we'll find out more tomorrow when we meet with Kirby. I think they meet with Kirby tomorrow, so we'll see a little more there. We'll be doing some kind of, you know, talking with people as well. You know, you're okay this week. You know what I mean? So, you know, you kind of want to see where we're looking at. Is Dalen Everett out for a while? Is Juan Gaston out for a while? You know, Ernest Green goes out with lower back stiffness. You know, went out early, caused Georgia kind of messed her rotation up there, have to change their rotation up. So we don't know 100% yet. I think we'll feel better tomorrow. And listen, I don't want to have any kind of speculation, but you just hate it that because it's invaluable reps and you take your right side, you take your starting right side of the line of scrimmage and you basically only got two drives of those guys. You know, you had a full fall with them. You basically only got two drives with them right now. So you kind of want to get those guys back because everybody knows what Georgia's staring down in 13 days. They're going to Knoxville. And listen, I don't want to sound like Kirby Smart or Larry Munson. You know, Larry Munson would beef up somebody or pump up an opponent. But Austin Beat beat Middle Tennessee State yesterday, beat MTSU, and they beat them bad. So don't think that Kirby Smart's not letting them get their attention with that. So that's, it's going to be a little different game than probably you anticipated. Georgia's certainly a lot better team than Austin Peay, and it's an FCS opponent. So we'll see where that is this week. But knowing in 13 days you're going to Knoxville for a SEC opener, kind of want everybody together and that continuity, those reps between those guys, you want to get these guys back as soon as possible.
I don't know that people realize this. Middle Tennessee coached by Derek Mason.
Yeah.
So, that's a well-coached team. It's a good coach they got there, man. I mean, a guy who had some success at some several stops along the way. We got some people chiming in here, Rusty. I want to shout out some of these. Juwan Pugh is checking in from Tulsa by way of Phoenix. Go Dogs. Appreciate that. Tim Warren checking in from Houston, Texas.
I love the check-ins, by the way. I go back and watch those when I go back and look at the comments.
Oh, yeah.
Please, if you listen to it this week, you know, wherever you're at, check in, let us know where you're going. We got South Korea. My guy from South Korea checks in every week, man.
Joe Swervo Chavez says, I know it was Marshall, but that defense is fast. Yes, they are. My man, Mr. Tag Applied Force, has been waiting for this recap. Love what you guys do. Appreciate you, brother. They all look good, says Trey Glover, but it looked like they had another gear they could have went to if they really wanted to. That's probably not an unfair thing to say, man. A lot of people talking about the running backs over here, Rusty. And so let's get into that real quick. Nate Frazier, look, you know what you got in Nate Frazier, I think. There was some consternation, I think, maybe a little bit of hand-wringing from some people talking about him dancing around in the backfield. People thought maybe he wasn't as decisive as he normally or could be. Meanwhile, it feels like the talk of the town on the offense may well be old Peanut. Dwight Phillips had himself a day and kind of woke some people up. I also heard some people mention some Chauncey Bowens and say, hey, that kid can run a little bit too now. Mm-hmm. I think that Georgia at this point certainly looks deeper than they did last year. But talk to me about your feelings in watching that game and what you saw out of those guys. I mean, obviously, I think Nate's still that guy leading the way, but Dwight Phillips made a mark on some people yesterday.
Yeah, I like about Dwight Phillips, man, is he doesn't waste a lot of time to get into, you know, the green area. And, you know, he's fast. Obviously, we know he's fast. you know, I made a comment yesterday on X. I said, man, this looks like Torin Kurtsey from the middle 90s, who wore 20 as well, played with Kirby and Mike Bobo. That was a guy that, you know, had to come in when Robert Edwards and those guys got hurt back in the mid 90s. And, you know, this guy's a change of pace, but I think his vision's great. You know what I mean? He hits a hole. He's super fast. And, you know, I've talked about all offseason or all August about the running back room. And, you know, I don't know that it's that freaky talented. I mean, Nate Frazier's a highly recruited guy. I think he is the guy. But I don't think you have to have six superstars back there, which Georgia's had at times. You got to have guys that can move the chains. Can you get off it? Can you make somebody miss? Can you make somebody miss a tackle? I was very, I would say, I'm kind of approved what I saw yesterday. I think Chauncey Bowens is a guy that's a 200-plus pound running back that gives you a little bit of wiggle. I think Dwight Phillips is going to get more. He's going to get more burn back there. This is a guy that looked very comfortable. I mean, they run a tall sweep from him out of the eye, and I'm like, my God, where are we? You know what I mean? We got a fullback in front of freaking Dwight Phillips. I'm here for it, man. And it's ironic. The first touchdown of the year was a tall sweep into the boundary for Dwight Phillips. So you know, that, I like that a lot. I knew the fullback was coming back. It had to. The NFL last year, everybody was running a damn fullback. Everybody had a fullback. And it doesn't take long for those things to trickle down. You look at the successful teams that run the football in the NFL, and they got a guy in front of their running back. So I like that Georgia used – they used Ethan Barber yesterday.
Yeah.
Ethan Barber, the freshman tight end. So I like that a lot. And I know he's a physical kid, and that was his way to get in. So, you know, it's good there. And, you know, listen, Georgia rushed for 200 – what did I say in one note yesterday? Georgia rushed for 240 yards yesterday. And anytime you rush for 240 yards, you're doing things well. It had an average of over – I think if you take away the fourth quarter, which had a lot of reserves in there, I think Georgia averaged 6.2 yards a carry. So, you know, you keep doing that and keep moving forward, keep getting better. They'll do things, but you got to get some continuity. You got to get your guys in there. Had to play a bunch of guys yesterday that haven't really played in a game yet, and some new starters. So, look, another thing, too, I mean, nobody wants to hear it, but damn, Micah Morris has got a broke hand now. But he's playing through it. So, that's part of it, man. Nobody's going to cry for Georgia. You got to fight through those things, get guys developed, get guys reps, and they got another week to get better there. So, anytime you rush for 240 yards, man, that's a good day.
I think they went three deep on the offensive line almost all day, other than at center where Cortez Smith took the all the reps other than Drew Bobo.
Speaking of 17-year-olds.
Yeah, right? No doubt, man. Hey,
first time I saw him play was Marietta played – Parkview played at Marietta. I'm doing the game on TV. I walk down to the coach, and he goes, hey, you're going to like our center, our freshman starting. I said, okay. He pointed him out. I said, okay. He goes, yeah, he's 13. I said, what? The kid is starting in 7A football as a freshman and on TV, oh, by the way. So he just turned 17. So you got to like that. I got a young man, number 50, get a chance to watch him. He had a lot of reps yesterday at Sega Team Center.
It's kind of cool to see that kind of flip, right? Because we're so used to the other side of it. You know, the guy that's held back 1, even 2 years sometimes. Oh, I mean, I won't name any names, but there was a quarterback I know we remember from a few years ago. There was rumors he was driving to school in ninth grade. So,
I think he was. There's a couple of schools in Georgia at 13 years old. You're in the sixth grade. So,
right, yeah. Donovan McMillan checks in, says, Kirby is winning. Georgia's winning the SEC. I mean, everybody talking about Texas in the offseason was crazy. Kirby's the best coach in America. Should be a fun game in 2 weeks. And I shouted this out for this reason. Dogs 24, my Vols 20. Already, Donovan, ready to give it up. Donovan Milliken, appreciate that, buddy. Thanks for checking in, man.
Real dog checking in there from Lake Oconee. I was just down there a couple weeks ago. Gabby's on the lake. Great view there, great place. So
yeah. Tie, Georgia, down there in Tipp County, checking in the Willis family. Yeah, and then we got Jeff out in Lindale. You might know him.
I do know. I know several. I'm trying to figure out which one that is. Everybody always checks in. So
yeah, absolutely. Rusty, I want to get into some grades for the dogs, but first I want to talk about our friends over at sunheist.com. Guys, look, it was beautiful weather on Saturday, a perfect day for football, but the sun was still out. And everybody I talked to who was in the stadium said it was still pretty warm, man. You needed your shades out there. So get with Sun Heist, man. Get yourself a fresh pair of shades. Tailgate season's here. Football season's in full effect, man. It's all very real now. Get over to sunheist.com. Check in with them. Get yourself some new pair of shades. Totally customizable. Tons of different frames. Tons of different lenses. You've got a number of ways to fit your face, get what you want. They've got it all covered over there. You can get 20% off with code DAWGSHQ20, DAWGSHQ20. Super lightweight, lifetime warranty on the frames, excellent customer service, and they're a Georgia-based business. There's nothing not to love when it comes to Sun Heist. I know, like I said, the only hesitation I feel like people might have, you can't try them on in the store, right? Order them. They got free returns. Try it on. See how you like them. I bet you're not sending them back. Get with sunheist.com today and get yourself freshened up. Rusty, let's talk about the offense a little bit more. Let's grade the offense against Marshall. Let's start at the quarterback position, where I do feel like, as always, the backup quarterback just getting a lot of love, man. People like what they saw out of Ryan Pugliese, and rightfully so, man. I mean, he's got zip. We've been telling people that part of it, right? I mean, the kid has a cannon, and that is no shock to see him doing that. Yeah. Now, it does feel like he's come a long way since the spring. He's progressed massively since that time. I got to tell you, Rusty, I'm not in this camp of people who was super despondent from what they saw from Gunnar Stockton. I thought that it was a good dynamic to watch him play. And it's something that, quite frankly, I think George has been missing, a guy that would tuck it down and run it. The last guy to do it, he was pretty good. He was from Blackshear. So I'm not saying that Gunnar is Stetson Bennett, but that adds a different level to everything, and it makes people respect the run in a different way. It's going to open up some holes. It's going to change how people approach this Georgia team, I think, as opposed to last year. Talk to me about this performance from the quarterbacks yesterday, at least from what you saw.
Well, let's start with Gunnar. And, you know, he is a fourth-year player, so he knows a lot of the offense, obviously, and they're very comfortable with him. But let's look at numbers a little bit here. That's the first time Gunnar Stockton's ever gotten off the bus at Sanford Stadium where he was the guy. Like, he knows, I'm walking in the building, I am the starting quarterback. So, you know, in years and experience, he's got that. But talking about playing in Sanford Stadium, a lot of nerves, you know, it's probably for him yesterday too. But the run game is certainly a big part of Gunnar. And he's been that way since high school. You know, was it clean in the passing game? No, not at times. It was not. You know, and that's something I think you can work on a good bit, especially after what I know that was going on in fall camp. I mean, he had two back-to-back scrimmages where things were really rolling, and that's good. You get in there yesterday, but I think the run game, I think him, you know, plays breaking down, he hurts you. Just move the chains, man. That 10 or 11-yard scramble will break your back and some of those things there. So I'm not really, you know, you look at Gunnar and you want to pick apart some of the things. You want to see more out of the passing game, more downfield. I have no concerns there. I have been very honest with every time somebody's asked me what worries you the most about Gunnar Stockton, and his tip balls. And there was two more yesterday. You cannot have that. And, you know, I look at that and I go, how does that happen? Because I know for a fact he's taller than Stetson. I know for a fact he's 4 inches taller than Bryce Young. The first time I stood next to Bryce Young, I could not believe how small he was, but he gets it done, and it's not a problem for him. You know, I think Gunnar had a nice release yesterday and not too big of a windup. I think it's, you know, people bring that up from time to time. I don't see that anymore. So the tip balls are something I'm sure that he's working on. I'm sure that Georgia, but you have tip balls in the air, man, it's a problem. And it's sooner or later it will cost you. Now, you know, maybe that's something that just goes away, and maybe that's something they work on. But yesterday it happened twice, and one ball would have been open. He was throwing the second ball. They got tipped at the line. You know, I think with Ryan Pugliese, let's be clear. Ryan Pugliese was a heavily recruited quarterback. Ryan Pugliese basically got down to Georgia and Ohio State. So let's make that clear. If you didn't think he had it, I can assure you he's got it. Now, what he doesn't have is the experience. I mean, he is still, I would say, you know, kind of a raw prospect in that part of it. And, you know, they're still developing him. And, you know, he's had the first 2 weeks of spring practice, you know, I was like, from what I was hearing, like, man, he's struggling, man. And I tell you, the last 2 weeks of spring practice, everybody that I know in that building, everybody I talked to was like, man, the light cut on for him. And that's what you want to hear. Then you come into the summer, he has a good summer. You know, he's still battling for that job and comes in and has a couple of okay scrimmages. You know, that they ran him a lot. The second scrimmage, they ran him a lot with the ones. You know, Gunnar Stockton goes 2 for 2, 2 drives with 2 touchdowns. And then they let Ryan Puglisi get about 6 or 7, from what I understand, 6 or 7 or 4 or 5 series with the ones. And he struggled a little bit. But, you know, you're not waving the white flag at all. And this kid's got a huge ceiling. And I think that, you know, if you take Gunnar Stockton out of this, say what in December or January, Gunnar Stockton's done at Georgia, I don't care who's coming in there. They're going to have to go through Ryan Puglisi for me.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, he's going to be the guy on paper. He's going to have the head start on everybody. And at some point this year, they may need to play him. You know, whether or not you think he's ready, sometimes you just got to put him in there if something happens. But this kid's got a freaking hose strapped to his shoulder. You know, it's the decision making sometimes in between where he's still growing. But don't let the fact that he's number two right now shock you when you see him throw, man, because that arm and how big he is and how athletic he is at times. I mean, no, he's not going to run the speed option, but he's also not a statue back there. You know, he's not sitting there. He's not a sitting duck. He can move outside the pocket. So, yeah, I think that with Ryan Puglisi, George is in good hands. I think the quarterback depth, I've said this, Ryan Montgomery's a kid that has really picked up the offense, and there's people down there going, hey, this kid is super smart. Now, he is a long way from playing, but he's a true freshman. This is his first fall camp he's ever stepped foot in there. So I think Georgia not going after a quarterback in the second window told me a lot, and it told me more about Ryan Puglisi than it did Gunnar Stockton. It told me that Kirby goes, okay, we're not getting anybody nowhere near what we think we've got with Ryan Puglisi and Gunnar Stockton. And to me, that's a lot. I think people just got a chance to see him yesterday, Ryan Puglisi, man. I mean, he's got a live arm now. And if you didn't know that about him, you better.
Absolutely. We talked a lot about the running backs, and I feel like we got into some O-line early on as well. Let's talk a little bit about these pass catchers, though, Rusty. The wide receivers that we got to see out there. Another thing that caught my eye in the snap count, Colby Young, I think, had 14 more snaps than the next closest guy to him. He was playing a significant amount in his return to the field for the Georgia Bulldogs. But a lot of guys got in there, Rusty. It was a lot of folks, and they were spreading the ball around. They had a lot of guys that had a chance to get it in there. Like you said earlier, to me, the big moment of the day, and I think for everybody when it comes to the wideout, Zach Branch just brings a different dynamic than you've had. You know, somebody I think on the board yesterday said, I don't know that we've had a guy quite like that since maybe Isaiah McKenzie or Mecole Hardman, you know, that could really just kind of take it like that and go. And I tried to kind of rack my brain, and I don't know that he was wrong. I mean, that was a heck of a debut, and exactly why you brought Zach Branch in to be Zach Branch at Georgia. But outside of Branch, you know, who else kind of grabbed you out of that wide receiver room?
I mean, you look at the guys, and I don't think there really was. I don't think the passing game really, you know, they unleashed it. You know what I mean? I think they did some stuff with Puglisi and letting him throw it in. By the way, you know, Ryan Puglisi came in with the twos, and typical, normally with Kirby, you don't get a lot of that throwing stuff. You know what I mean? He's trying to chew up clock. They let Ryan Puglisi go about 3 series before they shut it down to where he was just handing the ball off, which I like, because you got some of the younger guys. Well, you got see Elias Williams, you know, running that route on the backside, the tight end catching it. You didn't get to see enough yesterday to really judge. But what I will say, going back to Branch, is, and I say this for lack of a better term, I say it all the time, sometimes you just got to have your guy out-athlete people. Well, he outran people. You know what I mean? So let your athletes go make plays. Let your guys go make plays. Get the ball into your playmakers' hands and let them do things, because there's going to be tight coverage. You're going to need guys to make contested catches. I'm confident in this, and I'm not going to sit here and take shots at anybody. They are significantly better. They are way better. They are way better at wide receiver right now than they were last year. And it's just the way of the world. You know what? They went out and spent. They got guys, and not only they got experienced transfers, they won some big battles in high school with some players, and I think it's going to pay off. Elias Williams and, you know, Talon Taylor and C.J. Wiley and Thomas Blackshear was even in the game yesterday. Landon Rolden got in the game yesterday. I mean, they're playing all these young guys. So, you know, I don't really know if I could say, hey, somebody blew me away there other than Branch, but doesn't surprise me with Kobe Young. And, you know, I'm kind of weird about things. Watch when somebody scores the celebration. And when Gunner scored that first touchdown, watch all the guys run to him. And then you see the wide receivers run to him. And, you know, those are the guys that want Gunner to throw the ball.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, I mean, like, hey, man, don't run that damn thing. Throw it to us. But when you see those guys blocking their tail off and they're one of the first ones to celebrate with them, you see Zach Branch, you see Kobe Young and those guys in there, they're excited for their quarterback. It tells me those little things like that, over my experience, that gives you little pieces of the puzzle of, hey, you know, that room's united.
Yeah. And, you know, while not in the wide receiver room, on the tight end side, and you mentioned his name earlier, Ethan Barbour featured a lot. And really, I thought, Rusty, you know, you mentioned carving out a role for himself. I think that that's a very, very smart play on Ethan Barbour's part. He is going to find himself on the field by making himself a very useful component. And he's going to just bring a different dynamic. He's got excellent hands. I mean, I think we knew that, right? I mean, it was not a question of whether he could catch. But look, I mean, Ethan Barbour is not Elias Williams in terms of size, right? He's not Jaden Riddell in terms of size. But he's an excellent blocker. He's a really smart and sharp kid. And he's a guy who works really hard. And you saw that pay off for him in spades yesterday.
Yes, and, you know, is he going to be a fullback in the future? He's not.
Yeah.
But what is he doing right now to get on the field? Exactly what he's doing. And I can promise you right now, y'all can go back and save this podcast on August 31st at 7:30, wherever you're listening to this. There is no question that they're going to line up in the I formation, and they're going to go out there, and he's going to leak out in the flat off a play action, and he's going to score a touchdown. I promise you. They didn't look at him and go, hey, you just want to block? We put you in here catch too. And so, you know, he's doing what he needs to do right now for his role. And that tight end group, you know, I didn't get a chance to really look at all the tape, but you look at Lawson Lucky and Oscar Delp, both kids, especially Oscar Delp. And I think he'll tell you his blocking's come a million miles. I mean, it's come a million miles. He's a 6'5" kid who's 245 pounds or whatever he is. I mean, it's a grown ass man. Now, when you see Oscar Delp in person, people are like, damn, I didn't realize he's that big. I mean, and he is. Lawson Lucky, I think, is the more physical of the two. And I said this yesterday on the board that number seven is getting a lot of targets from Gunner Stockton. And I don't know if that's going to change. I think that's a guy he's very confident in. But Jaden Riddell was in, 23 was in yesterday, had a really nice block on one of those plays that sprung somebody there late in the second half. So tight end room, again, is deep. Elias Williams, I still think that Elias Williams – I still think that Elias Williams will make a big impact. And if you look at LSU last night, LSU took their 6'7" basketball kid and they put him out there one-on-one with Clemson's All-American defensive back. Well, guess what? Their All-American defensive back's 5'10". And they threw it up, and guess what? He got out-athleted. So I would not be shocked at some point if Elias Williams is out there in the red zone, maybe from the 10-yard line, and they go, you're 6'7½". Go get it and throw them one up. So I got some options there, and kind of like those young guys. But you know, if you're Oscar Delp and you're Lawson Lucky, you understand that you're the two guys right now.
Sure.
But you also understand you can't take a damn day off because you got some talented dudes that's got in that room and they're trying to get any amount of reps they can get.
I wanted to drop this one in here just because we're not going to grade the special teams, but M. Charles says, Miller needs some props taken over for Thorson. Hey, Drew Miller, we're calling him Meepo Jr. over on the board. He had himself a day. Good for Drew Miller, man. And listen, everybody I talked to, like, I kind of dove in on that recruitment just because it was interesting to me. This kid played quarterback in his high school. He's 6'2". I mean, this is an athlete who's a punter. Okay. Yep. This is not. They didn't go pull this kid off the soccer field, right? This isn't it's not one of those situations. This guy can play a number of different roles, but he's a hell of a punter, and he knew that that was his future and had himself a really, really good day. Shout out to Drew Miller,
man. Well, I mean, we never say who's who on our site. That's his policy, but his dad is on our site, and he says I'm his dad. So he's been on our site for 2 years now. He's a very active subscriber for Dogs HQ. He's on the board giving his opinions and all that kind of stuff. So we're all excited for him. And, you know, he always stays on me. I need a little scout report from the punters. I'm like, you need to tell us what's going on. Yeah. Can we get a little inside? So,
well, that's for you, Meepo. We shouted out your boy today. Yeah. So.
good deal, man. Yep.
Hey, speaking of shout outs, before we flip the page over to the defense, we got to talk about our new partner over here. And that's Modelo. All right. Man. You're trying to cool off, get yourself a cold one. Yesterday, maybe you were just enjoying a few Modelos. Maybe this weekend you'll get to enjoy them. Against Tennessee, you might need a few Modelos. Who knows, man? Once SEC play gets going, man. But it's Modelo season. Football has kicked off. And if you're listening, you've been recruited. And it's time for an ice cold reward. You're on the roster. And it's time to get in here. The official playoff sponsor of the official beer sponsor, excuse me, of the college football playoff. Some things in life are just made for each other. Peanut butter and jelly, macaroni and cheese, Modelo, and college football. So get over. How about them dogs? How about a Modelo? Crack one open. Enjoy it, man. It's Modelo season. This is beer drinking season, period, man. And this weather this weekend, come on. This whole week, beautiful. Yeah. So. Get over, enjoy yourself in Modelo. We appreciate them being with us. We also appreciate our friends over at MyPerfectFranchise.net, Andy Ludicky and the team over there. You can get with them if you're looking to take your life and career into your own hands. They've got a number of different franchise opportunities for you to connect with. Their services are 100% free to you. You got nothing to lose other than contacting them. Say, hey, I'm interested in your services. What can you do for me? They can point you in the right direction. And the people who are selling the franchises, they pay them. So check it out. Get with Andy Ludicky and the team over there today and see what they can do for you at MyPerfectFranchise.net. Rusty, let's talk about the defense. Flip it over here. We discussed a little bit earlier in the show, but let's dive in a little further. On that defensive line, I mentioned Elijah Griffin played significant snaps there. Overall, I mean, this one's probably a lot harder to grade because the Marshall offense was going to be what the Marshall offense was. They were basically playing pickup basketball to some degree. I mean, they went and found these guys and put them together. So there's not a lot of familiarity or continuity or anybody knowing anybody. But let's talk about that front seven just in totality, right? Defensive line. I thought had a strong day. You mentioned Gabe Harris was very active up front. The second level, Rusty, the linebacker room, stunning, staggering, ridiculous.
Yep. You talk about that and very much outmatched against Marshall's offense. You know, they're a mess there. That's something they'll deal with all year. What you can control if you're Georgia is you can control effort. God, I sound like Kirby Smart. You can control effort.
You've been indoctrinated. He's turned it into your grave.
God, I hope this don't make it back to him somehow. You can control effort, and you can control discipline, and you can control your energy level. And yesterday I saw it at everybody, you know, and flying around, not missing tackles. You know what I mean? And even when you give up something, you immediately get somebody to the ground or you're right there. And special teams, a block punt, you know, with KJ Bolden and those guys. And, you know, you just look at that from the defensive side. You just have to be, Like, that's what you want to look for with a Georgia team. Get off the field on third down. For whatever reason last year, I don't know. They could not get off the field on third down. So yesterday was, you can only control what's in front of you. God, I sound like a damn person. Really can only control what's in front of you. You know what I mean? What team is in front of you, that's the only opportunity you have. And yesterday took full advantage of it. And I just really like what I saw. Just based off what I've seen, I thought Raylan Wilson was he had a different gear to him yesterday. Like, Raylan Wilson looked like, you know, he was that guy. And I said it when Raylan Wilson came in that he could be a first-round NFL first-round draft pick. He does not have that grade right now, okay? Can he play himself into that grade? Absolutely he can. So we'll see where he is. But, you know, I was really impressed yesterday. And then when you go, you know, a guy like Dalen Everett, who has, you know, started, 26 games in a row, doesn't even play, and you don't really miss those guys. And so, you know, that's the one thing that I took from yesterday. They controlled the front. They reset the line of scrimmage. Nothing was easy. Even you go back to the UMass game last year, they got gashed. You know what I mean? Against a team, they were completely – way better. They was, you know, for two quarters, they got gashed. Yesterday, that was not the issue. You know, they were locked in from the start and was very, very impressed with defense. Now, you know, it's their tests are coming, but all you can do is who's in front of you. Yesterday, they passed that for me by a long shot.
J. Reed Hodges says, Met Row at Redstone yesterday. Great place for a pit stop on game day. Thanks for stopping in to hang out, man.
Man, I'll tell you, everybody that did yesterday, I got texts from people that were like, I had pictures, people took pictures there. We don't even have to advertise that. Like, once
what,
you go.
One of our subs showed up, super cool, man. He brought a copy of the Blu-ray of Jack Nicholson's The Two Jakes. And he brought him a copy of that film, which I thought was just awesome. So Robert Ramsey went here with a question, said, do we have any sacks? Don't remember if we did. Robert, I'm going to tell you right now, it was designed to not have any sacks yesterday. Yeah. Marshall was not holding on to the ball long enough to get sacks.
No. I don't even know. The thing you want to know is, was there pressure? So there was a lot of pressures, but they were not. The clear message from Marshall was, you look at target one, if it's not there, you throw it away and you get the hell out of there. You know what I mean? We need you next week. And, you know, I felt like what I saw, and I'm not trying to overreact, but I came away yesterday ready to see the defense. And, again, they're going to, you know, go up against an FCS team this weekend. They're clearly better, but you want to have a lot of energy. You want to have control and, we'll see what they do. Typically, too, now, the saying is, and I'm 100% a believer in this, the most improvement you'll see all year just about between game one and game two once you get something on tape. So we'll see what Georgia puts on tape and what they're able to do. My quick prediction this week is you're going to see more downfield shots early in the game. I think Georgia was so determined to run the football and be off to a good start. Kirby went for it twice on fourth down in the first quarter. Didn't even hesitate. You know, like, we're freaking going. I'm not here to kick field goals. I'm here to see y'all get third and one or fourth and one. And so I think this week, I think you're going to see a lot more in a passing game. I think you're going to see a lot more targets. So interested in that and interested in who all plays defensively. I said it too a million times. Jake, you've said it. We're not really going to know exactly what we got defensively until you go to Knoxville. Not going to know who's the third down guy, who's in the third down package. Raylan Wilson did that yesterday. At one point, they had Justin Williams and Chris and C.J. Allen in, you know, inside the box there, and they had Raylan Wilson come off the edge. So that was interesting. And then Chris Cole was in there. And I don't know how much you go back and watch tape. I don't know what series it is, but go back and watch number 9. And he absolutely, I would say, just about forklifts one of the tackles from Marshall, and you were like, holy smokes, man. That kid was on the plane home going, damn, I never want to see number 9 again. I never want to see that dude again. So, you know, all in all, man, it's all in all, it's a good win for Georgia. Kind of, it's a perfect, nope, but 45-7, Marshall, you take what you got and hope you get some guys healthy, and let's get on with it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. I mean, like you said, not a perfect game for Georgia, but game one, you handle business, depending on if you were playing for the cover or not. If you had the cover, if you're a gambler, the pattern is established. Okay, I mean, it is what it is at this point. Shout out to our friends at MGM, the MGM Sportsbook, for that. But yeah, it is what it is at this point, man. They did not make that, but overall, a very, very strong show. And I think a lot of young guys got to play just like you would have hoped. And overall, man, I don't know, not a lot to complain about in my mind. Can you clean some things up? Absolutely. You'll have a chance to do that again this weekend. To me, Rusty, the schedule sets up really, really nicely. Georgia's got a chance to really work some kinks out here before rubber meets the road. And I think that not everybody is so lucky. You can ask some folks in Tuscaloosa about that today.
Yeah, man, that's the most shocking thing I think I've heard was the Alabama's 5-5 in their last 10 games.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah.
Listen, they've had Georgia's number, so I don't care if they're 5-7. You know, they've had Georgia's number, so that game's a couple of weeks away, and we'll see. But 5-5, it didn't hit me until I heard that number.
I assume those people not taking it well. And in fact, if you're a member of Dogs HQ, you can read all the boards on the On3 network. So we had a great time doing that yesterday. I promise you, we were texting back and forth saying, hey, have you read this board? Have you hit this board? Have you hit this board? So some great stuff over there as always. Guys, a great show tonight. Thank you so much for tuning in, being here with us. We'll be back this week with plenty more leading up to Austin Peay.
I'm back Tuesday.
Yeah, absolutely. You back on Tuesday. We're doing Dogs HQ Plus this week.
Well, I think we're doing that. I've got a solo show. I don't know what's going on. I'm all of a sudden, right. I'm coaching and damn solo, and I don't know what's going on.
Well, guys, make sure you're subscribed to the channel. Make sure you're subscribed over at Dogs HQ, man. We've got it popping off. Content coming all day, coming all week this week. We appreciate you tuning in here with us tonight. We'll be back with you very, very soon. For Rusty Mansell, I'm Jay Cruz. Have a great night.